All right, let's read Acts 16. Let's start with 25, 26, and 27 together. Acts 16, 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fed. All right, then, verse 25, we stopped last week, and who was put in the prison here, according to this verse? Paul and Silas, and they were missionaries and going out in the area. And where was this held? Where was this prison located? What was the city? Remember from last week? Was it? Philippi. And Philippi is right up here, you see. Remember Paul came from Troas and was told the Lord, a man in prayer, wanted to come over into Macedonia, which is this green place, and help us. So he landed in Philippi, and who did he meet at the riverside? What was it?
Women.
And what was the leader of women?
Lydia.
And what were they doing in the riverside? What were they doing? They were praying. So that was the background. And why were Paul and Silas put in the jail? Remember from last week. What was their sin? Had they committed any sin? Had they violated any law? Troublemakers. Okay. What had they done that the leaders, their masters, didn't like? They're preaching the word of God, that's right. What else did they do? They cast the spirit out of this damsel. And what was this spirit doing? Was it a good spirit or an evil spirit? An evil spirit. What did that evil spirit have the power to do? Fortune teller, predict the future, and so. And when the ones that owned this girl, this damsel, saw that the spirit was gone, she could no longer predict the future, were they happy or sad? They're angry, and they brought Paul and Silas to whom? The magistrates, the leaders, the rulers, and what did the magistrates do? They put them in jail, they found them together. So there the scene opens in 25, and did Paul and Silas complain greatly?
They prayed.
They prayed, and what else?
Sang.
And sang praises. All right, and the prisoners heard them. It was a good testimony, wasn't it? Now, last week, those of us who were here, we came up into a Latin expression that the pastor used, and let's see if you remember what that meant. Remember, the question was, in the next verse 26, suddenly there was a great earthquake, and the prison doors were open. Now, then we were discussing, did the earthquake happen because they prayed and answered a prayer, or did it just happen after they prayed? See, that's it. Then we used that Latin term that's used in courtroom quite often. Post hoc. See, some of my questions were pronunciation of hope. Well, hope or hoc. It's hope. Let's say hoc. Post hoc, ergo propter hoc. And what did we say that meant? Post hoc, ergo propter hoc.
After
this, ergo propter hoc. Therefore, because of this. After this, therefore, because of this. Now, that's a fallacy, isn't it? Just because something happens after something else doesn't mean it was caused by something, see? In other words, I could hold my breath, then I could hit the pulpit. Did I hit the pulpit because I held my breath? It happened afterwards, and I'm not sure because of it. See, this is the thing. See, just because it happens afterwards doesn't mean it's the cause. Now, what do you think? You think it might have been the cause after they prayed in the Lord? The open? Could be, couldn't it? Could be. The Lord maybe hasn't. Doesn't say, but could be. He answered prayer, and so what happened in verse 26? Yes, Anna?
Anything's
possible with God. That's true. All things are possible with the Lord. In verse 26, what did happen then after they were
prayed?
There was an earthquake. Now, do we have earthquakes today, or is this only in the New Testament?
No.
We have all the time earthquakes. What earthquake took place recently, last week, in fact?
Japan.
Remember, we talked about that on Thursday night, didn't we? And there was a Meloni. What was the other one, Anna, you told about? Saboni?
Tsunami.
Tsunami? Okay, some sort of Japanese expression. So after the earthquake, there are aftershocks, right?
Underwater earthquake.
Underwater earthquake is a what? Tsunami?
Yeah.
Tidal wave, okay. And I noticed the earthquake itself was how many degrees on the Richter scale?
Over eight.
And the aftershock, did you read what that was? How much that was?
Six degrees.
Six of the earthquake. So the aftershock was almost as great as the earthquake. So they had a real problem. So we had earthquakes even today. What did the Lord Jesus say about earthquakes in the upper room discourse in Matthew 26, 27, 28? Remember? The end time?
The last days.
The last days will be earthquakes in diverse places. That's one of the predictions, isn't it? Before it's coming again. Diverse places means what?
Many
places, different, various places. And so, it's interesting, isn't it? And so, as the earthquakes continue here and there, now in the United States, are there ever earthquakes? All right. What are the most popular earthquakes?
California.
Why did they ever begin? San Francisco. Let's let it ring. So we got somebody wanted to talk to us all about it. I don't know why. There's nothing important here. But San Francisco, yes. Why did they have earthquakes?
With
a fault. Now, what is a fault? Do you and I have faults?
Yes.
Is that kind of fault?
It's a fault in the earth.
It's a fault in the earth.
Why?
It came from the flood, isn't it?
San Andreas
fault. Okay, now, well, you're the scientist. Tell us what happens in the earthquake.
What happens?
Yes, in the fire, how does the San Andreas fault enter into this phenomenon?
It's a weak spot.
All right.
So when the earthquake occurs, there's movement.
Mm-hmm.
Someday in Jerusalem, there's going to be an earthquake too that's going to split the Mount of Olives.
Yes.
That's going to be a big earthquake. And one of the interesting things about earthquakes is that you don't hear about on the 6 o'clock news is that they don't make comparisons to what's going on and why God could be giving a sign to us, as we read about with the jailer and so on, because what's going on in California now? I know you know.
Yes.
And why would there be an earthquake? What's going on in Japan? Well, I don't know them all, and I'm not saying, like Anna said, that's the reason for the earthquake, but if God is giving us a sign or a signal, we should pay attention.
Yes.
The UN makes these decisions, and abortions occur.
Yes.
And
homosexuality marriages occur. And
why?
Sanctified.
And you won't hear that on the 6 o'clock news with earthquakes, tsunamis, and...
This earthquake, do you think it was a natural one or a supernatural one?
Don't know.
What would you speculate if you were a speculating person?
Supernatural.
Do you think, in other words, let me ask you this. This is in Philippi. Now, I don't know the history of Philippi. But does anyone know that there were earthquakes prior to this in Philippi and earthquakes after this in Philippi? Do they still occur in Philippi, or is this an unusual, special earthquake?
Now, whole areas has earthquakes.
Does it? Well, all right. So we're not sure whether it's a supernatural, natural.
That's a major fault area. It runs down through Russia, the Black Sea, and down through the coastline of Israel. Saudi Arabia over there.
This is this area here.
Yeah.
Well, so it could be natural, but I don't know. I think the Lord took care of it. Yes.
I was going to say, God
from the beginning of creation, we knew the exact time when Paul and Silas were sitting in the jail praying.
So, yes.
I was going to say in Revelation that at the end of the tribulation period, it says that all the islands are going to disappear and all the nations are going to be flat. That means it's going to have to be earthquakes all over the world.
All over the world.
Yeah, it's going to be terrible.
That's right. Very bad situation. Yes, Pam?
Earthquakes.
God is sovereign, in control, so all of them would have to be under his guidance. As we read in the Old Testament prophets last week before, the Lord has his way in the whirlwind and the storms. And we can add the earthquakes and so on. The Lord is sovereign.
The point I was trying to make is, do we make ourselves aware when these things occur and what's going on in the world at that time that maybe God is trying to tell us something.
Yes. Just like we don't know really whether the blackout was accidental or on purpose, do we? It happened in this country. Now Italy had one yesterday, the day before, and they blame it on France. You don't know whether it's terrorists or whether it's accidental or whatever. Why then?
Trust the French.
Can you trust the French, yeah. So, but anyway, we certainly want to know why. And this, did the prisoners in the jailer know why this earthquake took place? They don't know why. Because they know the result of it. What was the result of this earthquake?
The salvation of the jailer.
Salvation of the jailer. That's not the line. That's
right. That was the purpose of the earthquake.
That was the purpose of the earthquake. Oh, believe
me. The ultimate said all earthquakes are God's sovereignty, but there was a special reason, particularly why God chose to have one here, be for the salvation of the jailer.
Mm-hmm. Well,
sure, it wasn't the release of Paul's house, because then he'd go.
That's right, they didn't go anywhere, did they? Yes, Anna? All things work together for good for them that love the Lord. The hurricane also, what we just said. All right? So the person. Yes, we hope that it will work if for those that love the Lord, at least, and are called according to his purpose, they can see the good as well as the bad in earthquakes and problems. Even beatings, even scratching, even rippings of clothes, as Jeannie's aware. She hasn't seen the benefit yet. Maybe down the line there'll be some good to come out of it. If you need any help, let us know in that situation. And so, but we just, we know that the prison doors were shaken. Now, what does that mean? They were shaken.
They came open.
They came open, see? And you know, when an earthquake will shake anything, they won't. Now, you can hear the rumble. You can feel it, right? And immediately, the doors were open. But what about this band? What is this band? Yes,
the shackles.
The shackles, the chains. What was true? How did they place Paul and Silas in this inner prison? Remember from the preceding verses? They were in shackles. They put them in, what is it called? In the stocks, right? So we read there last week that the stocks were in his legs, the feet, and so on. Sometimes the stocks had hands and a head. At least the feet were there, so this was a terrible thing. So the band is broken. Now, what does that mean as far as the prisoners? How did they handle the prisoners? Would that indicate they had bands if they were loose?
Yeah.
They must have been on them, had a shackle. And so this was the result of the earthquake. And in verse 27, what was the bottom line as far as the keeper? What did he think about this whole situation?
He was scared stiff.
Scared stiff. What does it mean, a keeper? What would that mean, a keeper? Do you have a keeper in your house? A dryer, probably?
I do.
You do? Let's say there's some honest person who knows. The Lord is my keeper, that's what it is. The Lord is my keeper, he keeps me in touch day by day, and that's good sound. So the keeper, the guard, the one in charge, why wasn't he praising the Lord with Paul?
He wasn't a believer.
Had nothing to praise for, didn't he? Had nothing to pray about. What was he doing?
He was asleep.
But what time of night was this?
Midnight.
What do you normally do at midnight?
Snore,
get ready for bed, or maybe even in bed sleeping, right? See, other people have night jobs and they wake, but many of us, I hope, would be asleep by midnight. I sometimes take a little longer to sleep, but
sometimes there would be night.
That's right. Some languages were... That's right. Languages won't tell, so people come in at 3 o'clock and somebody take care of them. That's right. So sometimes people are... But this jailer, was he working at night?
He was? He was on duty like that.
He was duty, but was he actually working?
No. They were chained, you know.
So what was he doing?
He didn't know.
Yes, Tammy?
Some places you're allowed to sleep while you're quote unquote on duty.
Yes, that's true.
The job that I had, I was in a group home and I slept.
Uh-huh.
And there were certain hours that we were allowed to sleep. But that doesn't mean that if there was a problem that we wouldn't have to deal with it.
Uh-huh.
But we weren't necessarily supposed to stay up all night.
Uh-huh.
So it's just because he was sleeping doesn't mean he wasn't working.
No, in other words, he was at the job, but he wasn't physically working in a conscious way, is what I was talking about. Yeah,
but the mother, she's always on duty.
The good doctors, are the good doctors always on duty? But there used to be old-fashioned doctors. I don't know about these today. I don't really know. And if they're on duty, how many hours on duty are they? Used to be.
Just when they're awake.
When they're awake.
When they're awake. When they're sleeping, they're not on duty.
No. But are they on call?
Or
they're
on call.
Even in the hospital, they're on call even though they sleep.
Oh, even though they're sleep, they're on call. Are good pastors on call all the time also?
Yes.
Yes, it should be 24 hours. See, so this is important. Chaplains in the service. Certain, now this man was on call, at least he's sleeping, but why did he wake up? That shook him. He heard it, he felt it, he rumbled, and do you suppose he knew immediately what had happened? If you had an earthquake, would you know?
He assumed that the person was dead.
Wasn't there a tremor a couple months ago in this area?
Yes.
I forget what was the Richter scale. 1, 2, 3? Something, it was a rumble. I remember, didn't we feel it? I don't know if it was night or day. What was it? Was it daytime or nighttime?
Nighttime.
But we felt this looked like a big truck had gone by here, like these big trucks on that. So, but he woke up, and what was his first thought?
Well, he saw the doors open.
What is that?
He saw the doors open.
The prisoner got his sword and glanced at him. That's right. They thought it was what? They got the sword out. Is that be your first thought? If they had an earthquake, was it just turn out and kill yourself? Why did he? Yes, ma'am.
He saw the doors open.
All right.
I mean, his job was to he was to make sure the prisoners were kept in the prison.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's fine with that. That doesn't have responsibility, so they would not react the same way.
Mm-hmm.
If someone was taking care of cattle of some sort and the barn door was open, they may have to respond.
They don't shoot themselves, I guess.
Barn door open. The cattle. But in his position, if they escaped, he would have been killed anyway.
All right, what would be the method of killing a guard that left the prisoners under supposed in Rome?
This is Rome. It's the Roman form of execution was crucifixion.
All right, crucifixion was there. And sometimes what they do in addition to crucifixion, or instead of, was another means that was popular in Rome. The gladiators
and the helmets out of animals
and the Colosseum.
Lions,
that's right. And for Christians, what were some of the tortures that Rome thought up for them?
Burning them
with fire. And terrible thing. Yes, Anna.
Gladiators.
Yeah, they had to fight the gladiators. Had to fight the lions, but the other men. Then one got killed. There's all sorts of tortures that they thought up for Christians at the time.
A Roman couldn't be crucified. That was against the law. So a Roman couldn't be crucified.
As long as for the Jews, I guess.
So this guy was a Roman,
mm-hmm.
and he knew that his job required, that was one of the rules, that if a prisoner escaped, his life was responsible for that. That's why he wanted to commit suicide.
What they did is to the Roman citizens is they would also take all the property and they would torture their family.
Torture their family.
And put them in jail. So if he killed himself, he would be saving his family.
His family. Mm-hmm. And it could be, you'd almost save his family from a terrible calamity, but possibly they could have destroyed him and killed him in a more painful way. So if you could do it himself quick, it's a horrible thing. I mean, suicide, is that scriptural? Does God want us to kill ourselves? No. The Lord give it, the Lord take it away. Yes. So, but anyway, he thought of killing himself, supposing this prisoner's gone out. Suppositions. What is that supposing mean?
He thought.
Is that good or bad? Is it always good? Is it always bad? Sometimes good, sometimes bad. To suppose.
You can assume
wrongly, but sometimes you can assume rightly, all right? So, there are certain times when we have assumptions, isn't that right? But sometimes we're wrong. We're not always.
Yeah, that has to be clarified. Assumptions should always be clarified.
Yes, it should be clarified and make clear that it is an assumption. Now, the theory, the assumption of evolution, is it a right assumption or a wrong assumption?
Wrong.
But the assumption of creation, is that right or wrong?
See,
it's right. And so, those of us who believe the scriptures, to us, things like creation, the deity of Christ, is not an assumption, it's a fact, because it's in the Bible, we believe it. But to the world, it's an assumption, isn't it? That's what we assume. They don't assume the same that we do.
That's why evolution is a religion.
Yes, religion also. Yes, it is. They're based on faith, not on fact, and not on proof. So we suppose they're different. Now let's read verse 28, 9, and 30, please. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for light and sprang in, came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" All right, in verse 28. Why did Paul speak out, I wonder? Do you think he was the only prisoner in the prison? It was his prisoner's plural, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Why did Paul assert himself?
He wanted to hurt
himself. He wanted the jailer?
He wanted to
hurt himself. Could Paul have been angry at this jailer? Could he have been, if he were to have wanted to? Was it possible he could have been angry at him? Yes, Joseph? Did you have a...
Okay.
Well, I thought maybe you had a comment. Okay. Because we have comments for all. If you have one, let's go ahead. And now, the jailer, had the jailer done anything bad to Paul and Silas?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Gene?
Well, I think read later that they were whipped. So he could have whipped them.
Uh-huh.
It was in verse, what is it here? 33,
uh-huh.
Since they had been whipped.
Yes. He could have been participating in that. All right. And also up earlier in the verses, in number 23, verse 23, what had happened to Paul and Silas? That's right. 22. They're beaten and whipped. And where did the jailer put them?
In the
inner prison. That time is later. And then what did he do also after he put them in there? Put them in the
stocks.
In the stocks, a feed in the stocks. So, let me ask you this. Yes, Anna?
Maybe he
didn't
want to,
but he just following orders, you know, sort of wasn't really responsible. Yeah, then?
It says, he charged the jailer.
He was safe.
So, I'm not sure the jailer partook in the other punishment.
Right. It could be. But part of his safekeeping certainly might have been that he caused them to be put in the strike. Be that as it may, if someone puts you in an inner prison and possibly was involved with your beating, possibly involved with putting you in leg irons, could you have a possibility of being upset with the person you did that? Wayne, would you like to have somebody do that to you? Why not? It's true. Maybe he wasn't involved. Yes, ma'am?
Well, if Paul was in an inner prison, he wouldn't have been able to see the jail. So the fact that he was going to kill himself, he wouldn't have known that unless God had spoken to him.
That's true. That's possible. Possibly. The inner prison maybe could have seen him, unless the inner prison was similar, close to the outer prison, and maybe eyeball could have it. I'm not sure that's a good possibility, but the Lord could have told the Paul and smell, but...
And then he also asked for a light, so it was dark.
Yes. And now, was he a smoker? No.
Alright.
He had to have a light to see. Alright. And he sprang in. Now, what would that indicate about his youth? Huh? always like the King James expression.
I thought the easy word prison guards are spared soldiers.
Well, I'm not sure.
But we're not.
Was it a lead on the show?
They had plenty of energy.
Yes, I'm sure.
So it was after maybe age 30 or so. He's retired back into prison, right? That's possible. Right. What was the name of your ad, Dan, that you had not put in the Sword of the Lord for the Bibles? One of the ads.
Jump into action.
Not jump. Spring into action. So here's the guy doing exactly what you told him in the ad. He sprang in. Spring, and then what did you put in the ad? What kind of an animal?
Tiger.
So spring into action. That's what he tries to get
by the
book. So this guy sprang in. It indicates that he didn't take too much time to get in there. And he sprang in. Got away. He saw, and he supposed that the prisoners were fighting.
A lot of these jails were very well-armed, too. So he would have had to crouch down, maybe I'm guessing, crouch down to spring in.
Yeah, it could be. Jump in a little bit to the opening. All right, that's another possibility. Why do you think, Paul, yeah, Bob?
Could the Greek word help there for spring here?
Possibly. Probably jump. I'm thinking the alasso, maybe, something. Alasso. But go ahead, you look up. Why was Paul taking his sentence, do you think? And what was Paul's demeanor when he spoke to this jail? Was Paul calm?
He was
compassionate. I didn't want to kill someone, but he was calm. But what other part of his demeanor shows? What was it? Someone else said something else? Guy with a loud voice. He yelled at that guard. Is it sometimes good to have a loud voice?
Yes.
All right. Does anybody like loud voices? No. Yes, Jean?
But he had to do that to get his attention.
Exactly. Sometimes when I speak loudly to my wife, she said, honey, I had to get your attention. Sometimes she's louder than me. She said, honey, she quoted me back. Or she said, yes, I had to get your attention. So if she understood it, I understood it. Sometimes we have to speak a little louder to get attention. Well, he certainly found a loud voice, and he was compassionate. He had compassion on us, jailer. Do thyself no harm. We're all there.
I can speak from experience that a loud voice is not always a blessing either.
That's right. What does it say about the scripture when you walk to your friend and greet your friend and say, hello, friend, at 3 in the morning? A loud voice. What does the scripture say? Is he for it or against it? Remember that? Remember it says, do not greet your friend, your neighbor, early in the morning and praise your neighbor with a loud voice. It says in the scripture that's a foolish thing because you're waking him up from sleep. Remember that's not in the
Bible?
Who blesses? It's really, bless not your neighbor early in the morning. See, it's just a blessing. See, even if it's a blessing,
no, I'm saying, doesn't the scripture say somewhere that
you
would be
kind
as a curse or something?
Yes, I think maybe. Reconstruct this by remembering. He who blesses his neighbor early in the morning with a loud voice, it shall be a curse unto him. That's pretty close. He that blesses, now there's a blessing, all right, but if early in the morning he wakes him up, it should become a curse. So we got to be careful with loud voices sometimes at the wrong time. Right? So, I was a teacher for 19 years in the school district of Philadelphia. Well, in the Los Angeles teachers longer than that. And sometimes we teachers had to speak, and I guess Roland, you've been a teacher also, we had sometimes speak with a loud voice to get their attention. Yeah. What's that? Yeah, Anna?
Well, sometimes also a loud voice.
That's true, and somebody's yelling at you, yes, Dan?
If we're always using a loud voice, then people will just begin to ignore what we're saying.
That's true. Have you ever seen mothers trying to correct their children with loud voices, and the children have no reaction to them? What do you assume, talking about assumptions?
They're always yelling loud.
They're always yelling loud, so the kid just thinks that's normal. But if the mother's quiet all the time, all of a sudden, then there's a wake up on. So, yes, Jeannie.
It was also because the jailer had his sword drawn.
Yes.
He didn't do it quickly, and with that loud voice, he could have missed and killed himself.
Could have killed himself, that's right. So there's certain emergencies. You have to act quickly and loudly. And if you're, you know,
any excuse she uses on driving, the loud voice.
Oh, is that right? Oh, that's the excuse when you're driving. Of course, you weren't doing anything wrong, of course.
No,
naturally. The car's ready to hit on my spot.
Exactly.
Right now.
Exactly. So a loud voice sometimes is that helpful. Yes. So he was very kind. Do that somehow around here. Then he, in verse 29, he called for a light spring. What was his demeanor? The jailer's demeanor. Paul's demeanor was
trembling.
Was trembling. Why was he trembling if he had now not killed himself, not committed suicide? Why was he still trembling? Yeah, Jane?
Well, he could have thought maybe that they were going to kill him.
Because when Paul said, we're all here, that was at the minute he spoke. First of all, how did Paul know this?
God told him.
Maybe God told him so. That's true. Maybe he's in the prisons. Maybe he could see the inner prison and the outer prison. But when he said, we're all here, that means right now we're all here. What could have happened the next 5, 10, 15 minutes? It could have all gone out. The prison door was open. So maybe he's trembling.
Jean,
you had a,
I know, I was
yeah.
Just
okay. Can't wipe her hair, he's there. See the hand, alright. So, let me just wipe your hair in time. So he called for ice, he was trembling, and then what did he do, and why did he do the next thing?
Fell down before
Paul. Is it right to fall down in front of people to worship? Yeah, why was he falling down?
Because he knew, they knew something that he didn't.
They knew something
they
he didn't.
Alright.
Fear, there's fear.
Pain is something very special like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And was this sort of a beseeching, a begging, pleading? Because almost, now, first of all, Paul and Silas were at the jailer's mercy. Now the jailer is Paul and Silas' mercy. The tables were turned, right? Because sometimes tables turn. What's it mean by goes around and comes around? What's it mean?
When you do something to somebody, you'll probably experience it.
Sometimes there's a tit for tat. There's a retaliation. There's a cycle. Not always, but that's the expression. Get that?
From God's perspective, then whatever we read, we
what does that verse say? Galatians 4.
Do not deceive.
Do not deceive.
That is not
wrong. What your man saw, that shall he also reap. And so the sowing and the reaping, that's God's principle, isn't it? So he was trembling and fell down. And what was his... What does this mean, beat them? And brought them out? In other words, had they gone anywhere from the inner prison? Mm-hmm. They were right there. Yes, Mom?
Proverbs 27:14. He that blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it shall become a curse to him.
That was pretty close to the way I quoted, wasn't it? I got a few words out, but that's about what it is. That's good. And I think it's Proverbs 27:14. Thank you. Very good. So, Paul, now, brought them out. They were still in the inner prison. They hadn't even moved from the inner prison into the outer prison. See, they could have gone from one part to the other part of the prison, but they just kept going. They just stayed right there. And so, why do you suppose the jailer brought them out of that inner prison? Probably talked to them. Maybe it was nagging back in there. Do you suppose the jailer liked it in that inner prison? No. I mean, he knew that was a tough, it was the closest lockdown it could be. It was a terrible place to be in. And so if the jailer wanted to talk and be afraid of him, he didn't want to stay there. So he wanted to talk to him, as he said, Dorothy, he brought them up. And he had a very important question to ask him. What question was on his mind? Was it?
Spare his life.
Spare his life? All right. All right. What did he say? Now, he could have interpreted save as sparing life. What other interpretation did Paul put upon the word saved?
Spiritual
salvation, wasn't it? Now, why did he think that Paul and Silas knew the answer to that question? Would somebody ask you that question? Now, think about it.
Because of everything that happened. Because of everything that had gone before.
Christ's testimony, and has gone before?
He probably heard
it. Was it?
Yeah, the jailer had probably heard that talking about.
Maybe about the Lord, praying and praising, so I'm singing. Now, do you suppose that the only time they sang was at midnight when the jailer was sleeping? They probably sang as soon as they brought him in there, see? So they, all these things, the jailer had a clip. Furthermore, wouldn't you think that these men who were in the inner prison, do you suppose there had ever been an earthquake before in his prison? As long as he'd been a prison guard? I think this was the first, wasn't it?
Not, yeah, not
and here you got these prisoners that cast an evil spirit out of a girl who was fortune telling, thrown into prison, and what did the devil say about these two men? Remember what the devil said through this damsel? Remember what?
The
devil and the servants of God. The most high God, see? And here's the jailer with a message to the. He was absolutely properly asking the question to these two men. Sirs, that's plural, isn't it? Paul and Silas, both of you. What must I do? Let me see. Now, yeah, Bob?
Isn't there some verse in here not in some of the Bibles in this area?
I don't think it's here in verse 16, or chapter 16. There is a part of chapter 9, Paul's conversion. Whereby Lord is taken out and so on. But, so, let me ask you this question. Would your neighbor or your friend or somebody that you knew be apt to ask you, ma'am or sir, what must I do to be saved?
Probably not. One of the things you should do is be there.
Okay. George, you should, yes.
Yes, because they're usually talking to them, and they say a lot of things to them, and they hear a lot more than what they think.
That's right. They should talk to witness a different one. It
builds up.
Yeah. So, the thing about it is, the question that the lost person would ask of a Christian, like this type of question, would have to imply that that lost person thought, or the true false, thought that that person knew the answer. And that's why you say, well, we ought to be prepared to lead a soul to Christ. And some of these verses we memorize every 1:30 every Sunday, we could use these verses, haven't we?
Always be ready.
Always be ready. Give an answer. Amen. Ask with you a reasonable hope that is linear with meekness and fear. Be ready. So, he asked a question of the right man. They knew, didn't they? Now, what's this word, do? Does that always imply works?
Yeah.
No. What is also part of do?
You have to come.
You have to come unto the Lord.
You have to put your faith in trust.
Put your faith in trust.
Believe.
You have to believe. These are all, it's something you volunteer to do. What did the hypercapitalists say about this? Can they do it? Can they do this?
Oh, I guess. Yeah.
See, what did Mr. Camping, in fact, just recently, someone told me, telephone, one of the pastors wrote me, Pastor Clark, called on the telephone, we talked about certain things, asked a question about Isaiah 14:12, about the, what's Lucifer? We went into that, and then he said, yeah, I was listening to Brother Camping the other night, and there, he's got this whole thing completely reversed, which is what the hypercapitalists always do. I remember Timothy Peach, who was a missionary to Japan, and in my Bible Verdant News Report, which we used to have every month, so now we're sort of, we don't have it anymore, but I used to write about salvation, about being saved, you know, believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved, so I quoted this verse, and he wrote a real strong, hot letter back to me, and he said, this is impossible. This is not what you have to do to be saved. And believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, not to be saved, at verse 31. You have to be saved first, then you believe. Well, you see, that's some of the hypercapitalists, like the Presbyterian with their Reformed Baptist, or their Reformed, you know, different Reformed Church of America. But be that as it may, what must I do to be saved? Now, let's read 31, 2, and 3 together.
Before we go,
don't quit.
Are you sure? I'm not so sure that this jailer believing that there was some sort of works that he had to do.
That's correct. I think in his mind there was something that works in his
mind.
They corrected him. That's right. And now, what, you remember the Lord Jesus was asked the question, of the Pharisees, what must we do to work the works of God?
He said the first work of God is to believe.
This is the work of God, that you believe.
He
worships. That's right. So you see, that is the faith that's called a work. Now, it's not works like we're being good or bad. It's a something we're to believe. It's like the work. Work the works of God. Believe on Him whom He has sent. That's a very important thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other question on the verse before we go to 31? Yeah, Adam? Why don't I have the news report anymore? Okay, honey? Well, number one, it takes a lot of time. Number two, it took a lot of money. They raised their prices and so on and so forth. Number three, I was entertaining other things. And we had radio ministry that we didn't have before. We had a church that had all kinds of excuses. Writing books and different things. Keep the excuses. And furthermore, I didn't know whether it would necessarily bring in the funds. We had the funds brought into the Bible for the ministry equally as well by the books and materials without any musical. So now what we do, we have my wife that works out as an update. She has a Bible for the update. She sends the different ones. So that's what we do. So I don't know that answers the question, but excuses. All right. It's one of those things that comes and goes. All right. Let's read 31, 2, and 3 together. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. All right, verse 31. He might have thought he had works to do. What were Paul and Silas' words to him as far as the answer to the question? Belief on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what would happen if they had real faith?
Saved.
To be saved. Salvation. Is that just temporary or permanent? Would you lose it or keep it? You keep it. Once you're born, you don't lose the birth. You're still born. And so you should be saved. Who else is going to be saved if they believe? In thy house. Now, some of the churches believe in household salvation. Mother and father believe the whole house saved. But what does it say? Did they preach the word of the Lord to his house? In verse 32? To all his house. And so it says, in fact, in verse 34 about his house. What does it say in verse 34 about his house? What is it? But in the house, what else does it say about his house? Meaning his household.
They rejoice.
They rejoice. Believing in God with all his house. So you see, in thy house if they believe. See what I mean?
So,
no, not like salvation. It's individual. And they house the household, everyone, his children, his wife, they believed also in the Lord Jesus, and they were saved. So that's what they were. See, some teachers teach and some groups teach household salvation, believe it. And as we say, the house says, if you believe, the whole house is saved. But no, they believed first, and then they were saved as well as Paul, as well as the jailer. So now,
but it's an individual.
It's an individual thing. That's right. And they must preach the word of the house. Now, let me ask you this: do you think that if he preached the word to all that were in his house, and he believed with all his house, believing God with all his house? Were there any babies in that house? You suppose? Can babies believe? If they believe with all this house, in other words, they were of an age that they could understand the word of God that was preaching, all right? So you see, this is important to see that. So they were believers. All right, so now, when he said believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, now, what kind of belief is there? Is there false belief and true belief? How do we define some of these terms?
False belief is like it, and many of the crusades where many people are emotionally affected at the moment and they go forward and they are supposedly saved, but then they go back to their seats and live life in the world just as they have done before.
Like the different crusades, like Billy Graham crusades, everything. So it could not be genuine. So now there's a certain kind of belief. What does it say in the book of James about the devils?
They believe.
The devils also believe and tremble.
It's not an intellectual belief.
No, that's right. Yeah.
That comes first, but then it has to be a heart belief.
That's right.
Commit yourself to the Lord or receive Him totally.
Totally. They have to be a part of real, realistic belief.
And the Spirit of God has to be working on you, too.
Has to be working on you, absolutely. Mm-hmm. There has to be a genuine belief and trust in the Lord.
I know who it is, but I don't. The book, Easy Believe,
yes.
Believism, and I don't think that's true. I think believing is a very difficult process and something that is immediate, but like Dorothy said, it involves not only your intellect, but your heart, too.
It's immediate, but it's surprising if it's an immediate process. So it's sort of a contradiction that the process is immediate.
But the Holy Spirit works.
It's instantaneous. It's instantaneously, even though it's.
But that needs to work on you.
The Lord has to work. It has to be in the heart, not just the head only.
Okay. Some people have to study a long time and then bingo. Other people hear it maybe once and just like that. I mean, there's no way to explain it.
Conversion. Repentance, change of attitude to our sins, hate the sin, and turn to Christ and be saved. Mm. Now, there's a whole group of churches that say an Apostles' Creed every Sunday. And when they say, we believe, or I believe, does that save them?
No.
Did you ever say that and yet you were lost in your church?
I can answer that. I was a Lutheran, brought up in the Lutheran church, and we said the Apostles' Creed, and the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, every Sunday. And I didn't have a clue.
I was in the Methodist Church all my young boyhood days until I was 17. I had the same experience. I said it. I was lost as a rat or whatever. I was unsaved. So in other words, you can say I believe. See, but see, that's, it's got to be the heart. You've got to know what it's all about, and the Lord can give you that understanding. So genuine belief always is assumed. John 3:16. Let's say it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. That belief is also must be the heart, not just the head. Yeah. Okay?
There's a verse that says, two will draw nigh to me with their mouths, but their hearts are far from me.
Yes.
I think it's a reference to, well, it's talking to the Jews. I don't know if it's a reference to the whole Jews or if it was
Pharisees, probably.
The Pharisees, yeah. It's
a quotation from Isaiah, also. Isaiah, the Lord used it also. That's right. And so, draw near to me with your mouth, but your heart is far. So you see, salvation belief with the mouth is safe, but the heart can be far. That's why you must, some people is a trap that perhaps you're seeing.
Yes.
They
miss.
Yes.
Miss salvation by
is that 11?
Okay. Miss heaven.
Yes, people have missed heaven by 11 inches from the head to the heart. Is it 11 inches? I thought it was 15 million. That's on your face. There's some stories in the 10 inches. But the head belief versus the heart belief is different. You got that?
If somebody goes and then he goes to
how much of that? If they were going to be 4 feet, well, that's good. For that, I have to figure out now he's a good mathematician. So, this is genuine faith in all his house. And then, after he told them how to believe, what the answer was, what to do to be saved. What did Paul do as far as that? Did he stop there in verse 32? Is that all he did? Just tell them that sentence, and that's the end? That's what the jailer did, but in verse 32, what did Paul do in addition to telling him what he must do to be saved? Alright, he spake in all the word of the Lord. In other words, there was a follow-up. But it must be a follow-up. I remember, as I told you many times in our services, that Uncle Charlie Allen, who's our high school janitor, we call him custodian, now he's our janitor, led me to the Lord. But Uncle Charlie, as soon as I accepted Christ, he wanted to be absolutely sure I knew what I was doing. I was only 16. I was going to be 17 the next month or so, but I was just a 16-year-old boy. He kept asking me, now, do you know what it's all about? Do you know what the Lord Jesus has done to you? And verses and so on. He followed up. He wanted to be sure that I was saved. I was a first student in high school, pre-high school. You've been janitor probably 25, 30 years. I don't know how long you've been a janitor. He retired shortly after our class graduated in 1945. I was the first one he'd ever led to Christ. He wanted to be absolutely sure it was genuine. So he kept asking. That's what Paul did. That's what we've got to do. When we need someone to work, we sure follow up. Don?
Praise the Lord for a couple of Charlie.
Yes.
Every year during the religious emphasis that we have that in our school, they took all the trophies, that's what it's before, they took all the trophies out of the trophies.